Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are continuing with our discussion of Bhima, the second of the Pandavas. We have discussed till now about Bhima going into the forest with the Pandavas and then battling with the various demons. When they entered the forest, there was Kirmira, who was a relative of Baka, and Bhima overpowered him. And then there was Jatasur, who was impersonating as a Brahmana, and he tried to carry away Draupadi, and Bhima overpowered him also. And then Arjuna went to the heavens, and at that time the Pandavas decided to go towards the north, towards Badrikashram and that area, so that they could also get pious credits by visiting the holy places, associating with the sages and performing austerities. And as they were living like this, Bhima had two confrontations with the followers of Kubera. So we discuss the first confrontation briefly, in which the Saugandhika flowers, the very fragrant flowers, came flowing down from the Mandakini Ganga river from the heavens, and Draupadi desired those flowers. So Bhima went up to the heavens, and there he met Hanuman, and after that he went to the areas of the Kuvera, and from there he got the flowers. And after he got the flowers, he overpowered the guard, the demoniac Rakshasa guards of the demon of Kuvera, and then he returned. So Yudhishthira also came over there, and Yudhishthira was a little distressed to see what Bhima had done. But then Kuvera was satisfied, knowing that these are the Pandavas, and then that issue was settled. Another time, when the other three Pandavas had gone out to get various things in the forest, and Draupadi was with Bhima alone, again she saw some beautiful flowers coming down, and they had again come from the heavens. So again Draupadi requested, "These flowers are so beautiful. Can you get these flowers from me?" "No, but of course these belong to the area of the gods, and it's very difficult to penetrate the area of the gods. Actually, if only Arjuna had been here." Now, Arjuna had single-handedly defeated all the devatas. Surely he would have been able to get the flowers for me. So in this way, Draupadi, in a mischievous manner, teased Bhima. And Bhima's eyes blazed up. Immediately he got up and started marching up towards the heavens. Towards the higher realms, to go to the abode of Kuvera. Now, the abode of Kuvera is definitely a higher level abode. It's the current Kuvera's name is Vaishravan, and he lives in a higher abode. But in the universe, in the earth, there are areas which are mystically connected with the higher arenas of existence. So, for example, we have the Vrindavan on the earth, which is connected with the eternal Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So, like that, there are areas in this world which are connected with areas in the spiritual world or in the higher heavenly worlds also. So, like that, there are conduits, there are pathways from here to go to the higher places. So, Bhima climbed up with the exuberance of his strength, marched up carrying his mighty mace, and when he reached the lake where these beautiful flowers were growing, then he decided to take the flowers. And then there the guard says, "You cannot take these flowers at all. This belong to Kuvera." So Bhima said, "No, actually everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. And this is the forest, they are growing in the forest, I can take them. So do not take them or we'll attack you." So they all came charging towards Bhima. And Bhima fought fearlessly with all of them, and he held them back and not only make them flee. And then they had a commander, Maniman, extremely powerful demon. And he started shouting at his soldiers. He said, "What kind of cowards are you? What face will you show to Kuvera after you inform him that you have been routed by a mere human being and you have fled in fear of a human being? Shame on you. turn and fight. They were goaded by the words of Maniman, but at the same time, they were scared to see the sheer force of the assault of Bhima. And they just turned like this. Maniman became incensed and he said, "If you will not fight, then I will fight and I will defeat this mortal." And he started attacking Bhima. And a fierce battle took place. Finally, Maniman took a huge mace which was carrying, hurled it at Bhima. It came with a fearsome force and it had enough power to rip a mountain apart. And as it came towards Bhima, Bhima quickly moved aside to dodge the mace. But the mace came with such blinding speed that it hit him on the side. And he collapsed on the ground. And the blow was so fearsome that it appeared as if Bhima had perished because of the blow. The Rakshasa started cheering and Bhima and Maniman started exulting. This mortal is dead. But Bhima was far from dead. And then a few moments he got up. And he glared at Maniman. And he picked up his mace and started charging with full force towards Maniman. Maniman picked up a fearsome looking dart and hurled it with all the power in his huge demoniac body. As the dart sped through space, charging towards Bhima, Bhima just flipped his mace and Shaikya's mace just knocked down the dart. And then as he closed in upon his enemy, so he just lifted up his mace and flung it onto Maniman. And Maniman tried to move, but the mace charged with such spellbinding speed that Maniman couldn't do anything. It hit him straight on the chest. And Maniman toppled to the ground, dead. And seeing their commander overpowered and destroyed, the soldiers just fled in terror. And Bhima sat there victorious. He drank the water from the river. And then he picked up the flowers. And he started thinking about Draupadi, of how he'll give the flowers to her. In the meanwhile, the Pandavas, who were in the forest, they suddenly started sensing something inauspicious. So, they immediately came back to their place where there was their hermitage. And they asked Draupadi. And Draupadi said that, I had asked Bhima to get some flowers, so he has gone to the heavens. And Yudhishthira could hear the sounds of a fearsome confrontation going on. He could see some inauspicious signs also. So, he understood something very dangerous is happening. And he remembered how Ghatotkach had said that, anytime you need my help, please just remember me and I'll be there for you. So he remembered Ghatotkach. Ghatotkach immediately came there and he said, please take us to the higher abodes. We need to get there. Now Bhima had just charged up with this fearsome power and with his stunning speed up. The Pandavas, if they had to follow in his footsteps, would have taken some time for them. So instead they called Ghatotkach, and Ghatotkach was a sky ranger. Sky ranger means one who can fly, and he just flew through the air. And as he flew, and he quickly reached the outskirts of the king of the abode of Kuvera. And there they saw Bhima sitting with the flowers in his hand, and all around him there's remnants of the battle, the toppled bodies of the Kuvera, servants of Kuvera, the Yakshas. And there were some Yakshas far away who were just looking fearfully at Bhima. And Yudhishthir, as soon as Ghatotkach and his associates put the Pandavas and Draupadi down, Yudhishthir ran over to Kuvera and to Bhima, and he said, "Oh child, what have you done? Now a citizen should never be offensive towards a king, and we humans should never become offensive towards the gods. We are living in the abode of Kuvera, in the area of Kuvera, and he's also a devta. You know, the anger of the devtas can be extremely dangerous. What have you done? And if you have any affection for me, then if you have any regard for me, please don't repeat this ever again." So Bhima felt, he hung his head down and he felt ashamed, saddened to see Yudhishthira Maharaj so distressed. Yudhishthira Maharaj started thinking gravely. What would happen now? Naturally, Kuvera would be angry that his commander had been killed, his garden had been devastated, his soldiers were wounded and dead. So he said, how will we face him? And as they sat there waiting, praying and patiently waiting to bear the consequence, whatever would come, to face by facing Kuvera. So when the some of the servants of Kuvera who had escaped from Bhima's fearsome attack, they had run towards Kuvera and informed him that Kunti's giant son has wreaked havoc with your favorite garden and he has also killed Maniman. When Kuvera heard this, he flamed up. He rose up, taking his weapons with him. And he said, again? How dare the insolent Bhima do something like this? Once I had forgiven him, but now he's going too far. And immediately he got mounted on his chariot and started moving towards the place where his garden was. And as he was charging along, he started thinking, how was it possible that one mortal could have killed even one yaksha? What to speak of a whole army of yaksha, and what to speak of a commander as powerful as Maniman along with the army? And he started thinking, his mind went back to an old curse, and his enraged scowl changes into a great gratified smile. And as he descended down to the area where the Pandavas were waiting, the Pandavas folded their hands and were waiting respectfully for him. And when Kuvera saw the respectful disposition of the Pandavas, he was pleased by that. And then he turned towards Yudhishthira and he said, "Do not, I am not angry with you. Actually, you have freed me from a curse which I had got because of Agastya Rishi. And you have done a service to me. There is no need to be fearful." Yudhishthira was surprised. He says, "You are such a virtuous person. How could you have come offended Agastya so much that he would curse you? And if Agastya had actually cursed you, then how could you have possibly been alive till now?" And then Kuvera told the story of how he had been going through the skies along with his commander Maniman, and Maniman had become infatuated by power. As they were going along the sky, they saw below Agastya Muni doing meditation. And out of sheer arrogance and stupidity, Maniman kicked Agastya and humiliated him that way. So when Kuvera saw this, Kuvera just leapt down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Agastya Rishi and begged forgiveness. So Agastya Rishi was extremely angry. It was not just egoistic anger that somebody has kicked me. It was recognition of the gravity of the wrong mentality, that somebody who is a commander of the one of the Devata's armies, of those forces, such a person can be so insolent as to offend a Brahmana, a Rishi, so grievously without any provocation. Such a statement, such an action cannot go unpunished. So he cursed him that because despite being a higher being, your commander has acted in such a despicable way, he will meet death at the hands of a human being. And when that human being who is a killer of your commander meets you at that time, you will also be freed from the curse. So he turned with Yudhishthira, his eyes had turned away as he was remembering that traumatic, that tumultuous moment when this event had happened. And then he told Yudhishthira that actually by Bhima's killing Maniman, I have been freed from the curse, and that's why I am grateful. And he turned towards Bhima also and he said, "Oh son, oh child, I'm not angry with you, but still be careful to respect, treat others with respect and treat others' resources properly with respect." And then Kuvera told the Pandavas that you can stay here for some time, and afterwards you can decide if you want to stay here or you want to go back. So the Pandavas agreed to stay there. And then Arjuna came back from the heavens. What Arjuna did in the heavens, we will discuss when we come to the topic of Arjuna. But here, when Arjuna came back, Pandavas were staying again in the abode of Kuvera, but at that time Bhima along with Arjuna at his command, they walked up to Yudhishthira, and they said, we want to talk with you. And he asked them, what is the matter? They said that, you know, we feel that we should not stay here for very long. Why is that? He said, if we stay over here, we'll become too habituated to the comfort that is there. And the comfort will lull us into a sense of complacency. And by that complacency, we will be lost. We will no longer be equipped to fight the eventual war, which we will have to fight to reclaim our kingdom. So, in this way, when they spoke like this at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately consented and decided to come down from the Himalayas to the mainland. And as they were staying in the mainland, at that time, once the Pandavas had gone out, so now all this had happened in the early years, and around the fifth year or so, Arjuna went to the heavens. He stayed in the heaven for around 5 years or so, and then he came back. And then, you know, the condition was 12 years of imprisonment, of exile, and then 1 year of incognito exile. Incognito stay, basically. So when they're planning to stay like this, they just had come back, and they had to now think about, in the last year, where they would stay incognito. So at that time, the Pandavas were staying in a forest dwelling, and they had gone out to hunt. So at that time, Jayadrath, he was passing by, and he saw Draupadi. And seeing her beauty, seeing her charm, he was captivated. And he was such a shameless person that he sent his own son to propose to this, and carry his proposal to Draupadi. And his son went and he told Draupadi, he started glorifying Jayadrath, and he said, this is the king of Sindhu and Sauvira and other countries, and he wants your hand. And Draupadi was shocked, and she said, I am a chaste wife of the 5 Pandavas, and I will not even look at any other man. Please do not speak such things. It's against morality. So he went back and he told his father, if you want her, then you will have to take her yourself. So actually, Sindhu Naresh, Jayadrath, was on his way to wed the daughter of Shalva. So he was on his way to a wedding, but when he saw another beautiful woman, he was so captivated by her that he decided, I don't want any other woman, I want her only. So, and he decided, he himself came to her. And he putting on a very cheerful face, started talking with her. And he said that, hope everything is well with you, hope you are well, hope the Pandavas are well. And he looked around sarcastically at the cottage. He says, well, the idea was, what do you mean by well? Nothing is well over here. You are living in poverty. Why do you have to live under poverty? He did not speak it, but his eyes and tone were speaking this. Draupadi understood it, but Draupadi was firm in her service to the Lord. And she said that, I have whatever I need. I don't need too much money. I don't need too much wealth. I have service to my husbands. And you have come as our guests. So here are some pitchers of water. Please wash your feet and await. My husband will come and then offer you all hospitality. So Jayadrath smiled and he told her that, we are not interested in food or water. Actually, I'm interested in you. And he says, the Pandavas, it's an unfortunate creature. They lost everything. Why do you have to stay with them? He said, abandon them and come with me. I will dress you in gold and ornaments and silks. And you will live like the princes that you are meant to be. Come with me. So hearing this, Draupadi was so disgusted. He said, how dare you speak such things to me? Just get out, go away from here immediately. And seeing her getting angry like this, Jayadrath's lust became all the more inflamed. And he caught Draupadi by her. And Draupadi turned around and he pushed him so forcefully. The sudden force of the floor, he fell down. And Draupadi started running her into her cottage. Jayadrath was enraged and he jumped up and he ran to catch her. And as the garment was flowing behind her, he caught her and dragged her. And he forcibly took her in his chariot. And Draupadi called out for Dhaumya, Rishi who was nearby. And Dhaumya came and he started speaking to her, shouting at Jayadrath, saying, you cannot take this woman without fighting with and overpowering her husbands. Otherwise, you will be committing a grievously sinful activity. You will suffer terribly. Now, Dhaumya's heart would not allow him to stop passively while Draupadi, his chaste wife, was being abducted. At the same time, He was a Brahmana. He could not fight. So he did the best thing that he could. He started speaking. Speaking instructions. Speaking good advice. Keeping scriptural information. Scriptural knowledge. Scriptural principles to Jayadrath. But Jayadrath was so blinded by lust that he was in no position to hear any good advice. And what did he do? Just drag Draupadi onto his chariot and start going away with her. And meanwhile, the Pandavas, when they heard about what had happened, they charged over there. And Draupadi had a secretary from her mother's side, so sort of assistant, and Dhaitrika, and she was crying, sobbing bitterly. And Yudhishthira came up to her and asked her, "What has happened?" And then she narrated the whole story. She says, "Jayadrath has taken her away forcibly. Please go after her immediately, lest this disconsolate Draupadi, giving herself, giving up hope, may give herself up to someone unworthy just as a sacrificial. He might be taken away by a dog. Please go immediately. Let not Draupadi be defiled by any man other than her husband." So Yudhishthira and the Pandas, and they heard this, they all felt very angry. So Yudhishthira remained gentle and he said, "Oh lady, go into the room and wipe your face and clean your mouth. Just don't speak such things. Rest assured, Draupadi will come back in a short time." And then the Pandavas started charging into the forest. So Dhaitrika had pointed out to the trail also. And Yadav had left the trail because he was not worried. He did not think that anyone would be able to check him from taking Draupadi. And that's why when he heard the chariots of the Pandavas storming through, you know, by this time Arjuna had also come back from the heavens, so all the five Pandavas were there, and storming through the forest, they woke so Jayadratha's party. They stopped and looked in amazement. Who are these? And then he asked Draupadi, "Oh, please tell me, who are your husbands?" So Draupadi smiled. And he says, "Oh fool, taking the wife away from her husbands, what hope can you have to live? Still, because it's a dying man's request, I will not refuse it." So Draupadi, although she was captured physically by Jayadrath, her heart and soul were captured by her husbands. And she knew that her husbands would always protect her. So she was so fearless even amid such adversity. And then she proudly spoke about each of her husbands. She says, "This person whose chariot is right in the front, who is dressed in white with the natural carriage of a king. He is virtue and dharma personified. And he is my husband, Dharmaraj. And that person with a giant body, whose face looks as if it is going to burn the earth with the glare in them, from whose eyes and ears sparks seem to be coming out, that ferocious warrior out to set an agenda, settle a score, is my formidable husband Bhima. And then that person who is the lightest archer, who does not awaken, who is so powerful that actually even in the darkness he can shoot and kill anyone. He who has defeated all the gods combined. He to whom gods turn to fight with the demons. He is Arjuna." And similarly, she is glorified. Nakula and Sahadeva also. And hearing these glories and seeing how fiercely these four charioteers were charging across the forest into his own army ranks, Jayadrath commanded his soldiers, "Get ready to fight." But as they were ready to fight, the fight was over even before it began. Bhima, Arjuna, Yudhishthira, Nakula and Sahadeva, they attacked with such ferocity that Jayadrath's troops just broke away and fled. He tried to gather the troops, and some of the kings associated with him, they also tried. But the sheer force of the attack of the Pandavas was too great. Some great Maharathas with tremendous powers which the Pandavas exhibited. And Pandavas also had a special secret. Nobody knew who they were. Nobody could cast aspersions on their lineage. And that way, the Pandavas were protected. But more importantly, not just what they had, but what they gained in their life journey. That is even more important. They had shelter of Krishna, and they gained even greater shelter of Krishna as the events unfolded. Now, in the specific kidnapping of Draupadi, there may not be seen to be any hand of Krishna. But actually, the hand of Krishna is there in the empowerment of Bhima and Arjuna. So, Bhima charged into the enemy army and started destroying everyone. And seeing this, Jayadrath realized that his life was in mortal danger and he started fleeing away. And Bhima was just tearing down, destroying the soldiers who were still facing him. Arjuna told him, "Oh brother, why do you attack these soldiers? They are not to be blown. Let's go after their king. He is fleeing already." And Bhima agreed and he started charging. And at that time, Yudhishthira said, "Oh Bhima, remember that he is the husband of our sister Dushyala. So please do not kill him." So Draupadi was disturbed on hearing this. He says, "Oh Bhima, if you wish to please me, then please kill him. Do not spare him. Even if a person who attacks another man's wife, even if he is a relative, that person should not be spared." So the scriptures say. So please do not spare him. So although they got this conflicting instructions, but still the underlying instruction was that he had to capture that person. So Bhima charged into the forest behind him. And Jayadrath had already fled some distance away. So Arjuna took several carefully aimed arrows and shot through the air. Although Jayadrath's chariot was almost 2 miles away, but Arjuna's arrows were shot so fiercely that each of the arrows went and spliced the body and the head of one charioteer. And it also sliced the head of one chariot. And basically, the horse and the rider, the horse was gone basically. And Jayadrath's chariot was immobilized. Jayadrath jumped down from the chariot and kept fleeing away, knowing that death was really closing in on him. But Bhima just charged with far greater speed, being angered by the mortification that Draupadi had to suffer. And he pounced on Jayadrath and dragged him along. And as he knocked him down again and again, and then he raised his arm to give a fearsome fatal blow. At that time, Arjuna told, "Oh brother, stop. Stop, do not kill," because that's what Yudhishthira told us. So he said, "Yudhishthira, Bhima, although he was subordinate, that did not mean that he did not have his own feelings. There were times when Bhima did not tell important things also to the Pandavas. So anyway, here Bhima felt that there is no need to go to Yudhishthira, but still because Yudhishthira had said they don't kill him, so he shaved him off. And shaved him off in a peculiar way. And the principle of shaving this off is that it indicates it's a way of branding to a person that the person has been defeated and has been humiliated, and that person has agreed to be enslaved by the opponent. So it's ultimate mortification for the Kshatriyas. So when Bhima did this, Jayadrath could not even face others. And then he dragged him along like a animal, threw him into the chariot and discharged him. Arjuna said, "Let's take him to Dharmaraj." They took him to Dharmaraj, and Dharmaraj smiled and he said, "Let him go." So Draupadi, seeing the condition of the husband of Dushyala was one of the, Draupadi had 100 sons and one daughter. So one daughter was Dushyala. And she was the only person to incent the grief that had been burning inside for a very long, long time. So, although Draupadi was angry with what Jayadrath had done, but still she felt that Dushyala should not have to go through this pain of losing her husband. And therefore, she is a soft-hearted woman. She decided to let him go. And Bhima caught him by the hair and told him that, "Oh, wretch, you do not deserve to live. But because Yudhishthira is so tirelessly compassionate, so now you are living. But remember that wherever you go, you should declare that you are our slave. And that you are here for us. So only on this condition, if you declare that you are a slave and subordinate yourself to us, only on that condition we will let you go." So be it, Jayadrath said, and then he departed mortified. So in this way, Bhima time and again acted to protect his brothers and protect their honor. Continue in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.